When we get a nomination from a 12-year-old, you know you got to pay attention. And the fact that she's so incredibly proud of her mom is pretty awesome. Joining us in the studio this morning, 12-year-old Jory and her mom, Wendy, from West Cornwall. You guys made a trek here today to see us.
Yeah, it's a little faster paced down here. Once you get to Waterbury, it's like, uh-oh. I got to put the foot down to the pedal.
Wendy, did you see the email that your daughter sent?
I did.
Yeah, she wrote that you are a science teacher, scientist, boat builder, wilderness guide, certified robot instructor, tropical ecology biologist, whitewater kayaker, racer, coach, part of the Jaguar Initiative, and a single mom.
All of those would be true.
Right.
Wow.
Yes.
I mean, that's really mind-blowing. I mean, such a rounded, different background of skills right here. I mean, some of these are related, obviously, but how did you get started? What do you do full-time? This is what I want to know. I've got so many questions.
I'm an onion with a lot of layers.
Right.
I work at the Foreman School in Litchfield with some pretty bright students. But the cool thing is that I get to do my science and I get to do my research. And being as an explorer and a biologist, I get to link everything. Not only to get to link everything, but I get to train them to collect data in the middle of the jungle in Costa Rica. So it's very awesome. It's you're growing, you're learning, you know. I'm learning as much as I did when I was 30. So I'm amazed with how well people roll with the punches. And being an explorer in the jungle, you never know what to expect. So having my explorer background, like my wilderness guide background, has really helped to, you know, kind of contain the masses and have the boundaries for safety. And then we get our science done.
Well, I love your curiosity here. I mean, just want to say that my science teachers basically put on like contact and left it up to like, you know, what was her name to teach us about science, basically. Jody, whatever her name was that starred in that thing.
What are you talking about?
I'm just telling you that she left to do a movie.
Just videos?
There was no science. There was no crawling through jungles or anything like that.
Jory, what's it like to have a mom who's a real life adult Dora the Explorer?
It's been amazing having her as a mother because I know that she can like do anything because she has all of these jobs, but she always finds time to hang out for us to go out for like ice cream or something like that. And she's just like an amazing mom to have and to brag about sometimes.
Aw.
Yeah, it's really sweet. I keep thinking, like, you guys go out for ice cream. I was, like, afraid that she was going to be like, yeah, well, for fun, we go out into the woods and look for worms. And
we
that,
too.
Right.
Yeah.
For fun, we beat malaria.
Right.
It was great. Right. We decided to do that last weekend.
Oh.
So I was thinking about young girls out there and that kind of thing. And I think one of the things that I think about and I teach my kids this and I train them, too, is to be open for observation and exploring and, you know, really being a natural world geek is what I'm actually asking these kids to do.
Mm-hmm.
So to look at everything, to be curious about everything, because every stone unturned, you don't know what's going to be under there. It could be a medicine for the future. It could be. So, I mean, we're really acting on that level. And these kids can make a difference before they leave high school.
Yeah.
I mean, who wouldn't want to be a part of that?
That's so great.
All these cool, you know, adventures and these research projects and stuff like that you're putting together, are these things that you're always doing with your students? Or is it sometimes family trips, sometimes with the students, or off on your adventures when class isn't in?
So I try to adventure all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm off school in the summertime, my daughter and I and our friends are heading up to Maine with sea kayaks and going up the coast of Maine, camping on the islands for a week or so. But exploring is definitely definitely in my genes. Anytime that we can get out, we get out. I really am pulled towards, and not as much Jory as myself, but doing something for a mission. So, and being a scientist, usually that pulls me into the science path. But so wherever I can go for a mission, I mean, Raven, you said, too, you know, bringing, you know, talking about science classes and that kind of thing. I mean, I really believe that getting people out into the science, not just teaching them about the science, but getting them out into the science. And there was a long time where I actually tracked wolves with students for 8 summers in Minnesota, and and our work went to the Vermilion College up there that was doing some work on some wolves that shouldn't be doing what they're doing. So we did 24-hour surveillance, 6 hours on, 6 hours off, but we were in these surveillance vans and keeping track of, of these wolves, you know. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah, Raven and I eat popcorn and make jokes about Justin Bieber.
Most of the surveillance that goes on.
Hey, it's so entertaining, hey?
Most of the surveillance that goes on down in this area that comes from a van is also about, like, somebody being unfaithful to their attorney husband.
Right. Yeah. Right.
That's usually what it is down here.
That's entertaining. It's good.
Jory, what's the greatest adventure you've ever got on with your mom?
When my mom brings her, when she has her school kids come down on, like, trips or something, I always go with her. But I don't know.
For weekend trips.
Mm-hmm.
But for backpacking stuff.
Maine has been really fun. We've done that for the past couple of years. This summer that we had was really opening because I think, well, on the first night, we were hiking around the island, like only on the shore though. And my god sister and I, we started climbing up a ledge. And I stepped on a ground bee's nest, and I got stung 9 times on my finger.
Oh.
So that, and it hurt really bad. And my god sister, she was in the, she was already almost across, and there was nowhere else for her to go. So she asked her mom if she could jump, and her mom's like, "No, definitely don't do that." That was opening that I could get down from a ledge after being stung and, like, crying and all that.
We got stung 9 times. It's okay to cry.
Yeah.
Showed your resolve, though. Good job.
Yeah. It hurt, but I knew my mom, if she ever did that, she would be like, "Oh, it's a bee sting."
Right. She'd just move on. She would, like, whip up something from the jungle to put on it, smooth it out.
Yeah.
Natural remedy. Be all done. Well, guys, we want to thank you so much for coming in today. Wendy, you truly are one of Connecticut's fiercest. And Jory, I'm so proud that you're proud of your mom and you see what an amazing woman she is.
Thank you.
Thanks, Anna. Thanks, Raven. It was awesome to talk to you.
I wonder, is there, like, as part of this Jaguar initiative, we were talking about it a bit off the air. You guys are tracking jaguars and the tracts of land that they're still traveling through and they're inhabiting, right? All the way from Argentina, you said, to Mexico is the goal?
So there's different groups. So, yeah, the jaguars, the Panthera onca, which is the Latin name, that species is found from Argentina to Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And we were asked by Panthera, which is the biggest big cat conservation organization in the world, if we would take on tracking them in our locale, because the idea is develop a corridor of protection from Argentina to Mexico, hey? So we are going to go down with a lot of camera traps, and my students and I will put them as far out as we can on Base Camp 1, Base Camp 2.
And these camps are located where?
These are in northeastern Costa Rica, northeast of San Jose, I should say.
And you've been doing this for years.
25 years.
25
years. Not specifically the Jaguar Project, but I've been running research projects for all sorts of different things. Some of them are very crazy. But.
And these students are young. They're 17 and 18 years old doing this incredible work. That's amazing.
So my question for you is you're in the jungle in Costa Rica. You're doing these projects over the last 2 decades.
Right.
What is the craziest story that you can remember, the craziest interaction you had with wildlife or people, for that matter, in Costa Rican jungles?
I think that my students at the Foreman School would want me to tell this, and that is latched on to, I was very interested in this bullet ant, which is about 3/4 of an inch big.
Okay.
And the bullet ant has long been known to have a very powerful sting, really powerful.
Yeah.
I think it's like on the Schmidt Pain Index, it's like 5 out of 5. There was a push a while ago to find out what that venom could do. Like, there's a lot of things down there, right, that could help us.
Well, a lot of medicines now are made from venoms.
Absolutely. Right. And if you think about it, like, you know, 25% of our medicines have been extracted from rainforest plants. We've only surveyed 1% of the plants.
Wow.
So because this has such a strong venom, what could be done with it? What could be done with this Panarin toxin? So I talked to some people in Cincinnati and did a little legwork, and they were like, oh, you know, people have been going down and collecting them and bringing them back, preserving them and bringing them back by the masses. And we get back and their venom is basically inert. It's like water, so we can't test it. And I was like, well, there's two things. One is there are major pollinators down there, so what are we doing here? We don't want to be killing stuff off.
Right.
What if we found out a way that we could take the venom out and then return them to their nests so they can keep on keeping on?
Right.
Some of my students, a John Hopkins student who was one of my students, he went to John Hopkins and applied for a scholarship called the Woodrow Wilson, and they were really excited about it. So for 4 years, he would come back and work with us, and we figured out a way to return them to the nest. So first, we would collect them in these crazy contraptions that we designed, students designed, with these Hoover vacuum cleaners, Nalgene's on them, and then we latch it on, almost like Ghostbusters.
It's a Ghostbuster
trap. Right.
With a dustbuster.
And then we click it, and it had a little reverberating screen, and we just...
Right.
You know, we would take them by these crazy Ghostbusters things that we started developing,
and we'd
make them, we'd get them to envenomate in these little aliquots, these little test tubes.
They were milking bullet ants.
We are.
They were milking bullet ants.
And then we'd bring back all of that venom, you know, they had permits and everything would come back and they would test it. It was really amazing.
Hmm.
That was pretty phenomenal.
Right.
That's pretty awesome.
Oh, I said crazy. I thought they were going to say that somebody drank it by accident.
No.
Right. I dropped the jar.
Actually, you know, my job is just to get the stuff, Raven, and get, I don't know what happens after that.